Welcome back. Okay, that's a bit much. This is Chicken Philosophy, the I Ching, part one, in which we will begin a whole new series, or segment, or something. Series, we'll go with series. Here on Chicken Philosophy, let's bring up the chicken wheel for just for the new folks. I won't go too much into it for the new folks because the folks that aren't new will get bored. You know how it is. Anyway, so yeah, there's five petals, and the outer petals are the books. The inner petals are Fretter BT, that's me, and the blue one is Edward, that's Edward.
Hi.
And the red one is Gwydion.
What's going on?
And we read those five books. And we originally were reading The Secret of the Golden Flower. That was the white petal. We finished that. Then we read the Tao Te Ching. And we finished that. There's the Tao Te Ching. I didn't want to point to it too quickly after the first thing. Anyway, so now we're reading the I Ching. It's, I'm looking forward to it. But to start, we always begin with a beverage and incense. And so for today's beverage, I'm going to go with something a little different. I'm going to go with this Flurry's Calming Chamomile rather than always coffee. So there you go. And putting that in a cup and pouring the hot water right now, so we'll let it sit for a while before I drink it. And for the incense, we're going with some lavender. So if you want to take a moment and make yourself some chamomile and light up some lavender incense and then come back, it's up to you. Be fully immersive, bring in a couple more senses into the experience. So here on Chicken Philosophy, I read things I haven't read before. We started, the Chicken Philosophy started with the black books, which were here and appeared here. Then we read the Arbitel, then we read, we began Mech and Revelation, and then Teilhard de Chardin. We read the Ashtavakra Gita, which was short, so we finished it. That was one that I had read one time before, but I wanted to share it. Mostly, things we read on Chicken Philosophy are things that I've always been interested in, but never quite enough to actually read. Preferring, things like Dune and, I don't know what it is. I haven't been diagnosed, but I generally don't read, at least not boring things. You know what I mean? Nonfiction. I mean, so I'm 47 now, and it's about fucking time, if you'll pardon my Francais, that I read these things like the I Ching. And Carl Jung's Black Books has only been out for a few years. It's kind of a treat, and it's where I began. I hadn't read any Carl Jung before Carl Jung's Black Books, so it's an interesting entry point. It's sort of like the people who've never watched Star Wars, and then they start with Andor and then watch Rogue One. It's like, whoa, what are you doing, But anyway, so other than that, though, we read these books too. I'm not going to sit here and try to remember them all, but so we've done the beverage, we've done the incense, now we'll do the I Ching, which is something that we've been doing since, episode 4 or so of Secret of the Golden Flower, and we continued through the 12 parts of Tao Te Ching, and we still have these cards that have not yet been put up at the top of the screen during an episode of The White Petal, which is now the I Ching series. Is it all making sense? Okay. So just a little bit of simple shuffling. And we've got double broken, solid, broken, double solid. And it's figure 53. Editor Edward, if you wouldn't mind turning up Jean-Michel Jarre's Concerts in China. I'm not going to try to say that in French. While I look that one up. Shien, development, gradual progress. It's encouraging. Those who persevere make continuous progress. So we persevere, we keep reading. We're up to 300 some odd episodes of me sitting here reading things and also talking. Sometimes I talk about what I'm reading, sometimes about other things entirely. Speaking of which, today, as I'm recording, is November 5th of 2025. Now, there should be two things that come to mind. There's the old thing, remember the 5th of November, something, something, something. Well, I'll fill in the something, something, something. First, of course,
November 5th, 1955. That was the day I invented time travel.
Yes, Dr. Emmett Brown invented time travel on November 5th of 1955. But on November 5th of 2018, actually, let's just roll it. That's right. Small Seal is 7 years old as of today, so he's going to hang out. He's been here before one other time. We'll just have him hang out right there. Two things. One, there's 64 I Ching figures because when you have, you know, single, when you have two options, broken or unbroken, in six, then it's 2 to the power of 6. But another way, and so it's 64 different figures, but there are 64 different possible permutations of the 4 nucleic acids and the DNA. But the way that our biology utilizes that is it reduces that to a smaller, more manageable number, basically 20 or 21 or 22, depending on how you count. You can pick up this book. This was written by me, as in I'm VH Fighter BT. Here's my channel, VH Fighter BT. This is my book. You can call me VH Frat or BT, whatever, you know, BT for short. It's technically GH, but there's veils, obviously. So that thing you saw, the soft toy, they're called soft toys here in India because they're more British, but they're English in India. What we call stuffed animals back in America. So Small Seal has his own channel. I mean, I should be pointing here, right? It's called Soft Toy Menagerie, and if you click through, you can see his 7th birthday post and wish him a happy birthday if you like, or you can check out the other, mostly shorts. You can check out the shorts. So there's Chicken Philosophy, there's Soft Toy Menagerie, there's Buddhist Books Podcast, and then Pymander Aquarian is a channel where all the channels are existing in one space. So if you want to check out Pymander Aquarian, then you can see all my channels and get a good overview. There's Esoteric Nerd Podcast. That's my podcast. There's Gwydion's Astral Coffee House. You remember Gwydion with the hat? That's his thing. Edward Reeb channel. That's Edward. You met Edward earlier. VH Frater BT. That's the channel I pointed you to earlier. That's where I do my rituals, or, you know, used to. Gwydion's Poetry, that's where Gwydion talks backwards. Going, Going, Gone, that's where Pew and Edward, well, Pew and all of us, we're all the same guy. So my wife and I go driving and take video of Goa. It's tropical, it's nice. The Multiverse Cartographer, which is Edward's book, and The Indian Hollywoods, it's just called Indian Hollywoods. That's there. And Sonnet One. So all of those can be found on the Pymander Aquarian channel. And for more about all of those, you can check out Pymander 1000. That's a video here on Chicken Philosophy. When we got to 1000 videos overall on all the channels, then we did Pymander 1000, where we all go over all the different channels and what you can find there and each of our favorites among those. So Pymander 1000 is fun. We'll put that at the end screen. It's mostly for the new folks, but maybe this is fun for the people who've been around for a while. The two channels that aren't talked about in Pymander 1000 are Soft Toy Menagerie and Thursday Art Walk, which yeah, looks like that. And I should give credit to Radhika Hersey for, she did the painting that ended up being used as the thumbnail. We knew each other back then. It's an old channel. It's almost as old as Gwydion's Astral Coffee House, which was our first channel. Okay, enough with the introduction, promo, whatever the hell that was. Now we can get to the reading right after I have a sip of tea. The I Ching, or Book of Changes. Same thing. Let's see where it starts. Skip the table of contents. All right. The only true aristocracy is that of consciousness. D.H. Lawrence, ignoring most of the connotations of aristocracy. Okay. Maybe like going back to Aristotelian definitions or whatever. Okay. Introduction to the Book of Changes. It better not be Carl Jung. This is just a book. That's what it says at the top of this. On its surface, the I Ching is merely a book. A very old book. One that has survived for thousands and thousands of years in many forms. But it is just a book. It is also a very wise book. It is regarded as the foundation text of Chinese wisdom and philosophy, and was instrumental to sages such as Confucius. Ah, okay. By the way, if it wasn't clear, yeah, and I mentioned earlier, these are things I'm not familiar with. These are things I always wanted to get to. I might have some like indirect knowledge or knowledge of other things or knowledge in general through which I analyze what I'm reading aloud, but don't mistake that for me being a teacher of the thing that's in my hand, because I couldn't possibly when I'm in the middle of learning it, right? If you learn something from my learning it, great, but don't call me a teacher. Okay. So first, there was, according to what we've gathered from the books we've read on the White Petal so far, first there was I Ching, then there was Confucius, then there was Tao Te Ching, right? And meanwhile, Buddhism was over here, and it kind of like started to come into China around the same time as the Tao Te Ching was written, but maybe Tao as a thing was around before, sort of like Jainism was around before Mahavira, something like that. I'm not sure. But the picture basically is starting to come back into view, I should say. I think I used to know a lot of this stuff, but I just hadn't thought about it in decades. Confucius, whose education and teachings were formed by it, but it is just a book. Says you, says introduction writer yesterday in Arizona or whatever. All right, let's keep reading. This is more than just a book. Ah! Ah, the broken and the unbroken. So it's just a book, and this is more than just a book. Okay, that's what I'm interested in. Beneath the surface, however, the Book of Changes is more than just a book. It is a living, breathing oracle, a patient and all-seeing teacher who can be relied upon for flawless advice at every turning point in our lives. Those who approach the I Ching sincerely, consult it regularly, and embody in their lives the lessons it teaches, inevitably experience the greatest riches that life has to offer: prosperity, understanding, and peace of mind. The Book of Changes speaks to us not in abstract platitudes, but with direct advice about what to do now, in this situation, to bring about our own success and good fortune. It is for this reason that it is so dynamically alive today, thousands of years and thousands of miles from its place of origin. Next section is called, What Does the I Ching Teach Us? Just be patient and read it. That's why I skip introductions. I'm used to. The I Ching takes a decidedly realistic view of the world. It doesn't mislead us into thinking that evil, in ourselves, in others, in the world at large, can be eliminated once and for all. Yeah, not like that Christianity. Sorry. No, I know it's more complicated than that, but it's like the idea of like, baptism. Now you're forgiven. Yay, you're going to go to heaven as long as you never do anything bad again. It's like, oh, shit. And it's like Alcoholics Anonymous or something. Never another drop. Sorry. I mean, you know, like, it works if you work it. You know, it's like, sorry. It acknowledges that we all have in our characters both positive and negative elements, and it teaches us to be led by our superior qualities, so that our thoughts and actions are free of inferior influences. It also teaches us how to respond to negative influences outside in order to avoid harm and maintain our well-being. The qualities that the Book of Changes counsels us to embody, in our lives are modesty, awareness, acceptance, adaptability, compassion, restraint, innocence, perseverance, tolerance, reticence, devotion to inner truth, patience, openness, detachment, consciousness, balance, and inner independence. The qualities that the I Ching urges us to let go of are fear, anger, desire, arrogance, aggressiveness, anxiety, harshness, cunning, goal orientation, and self-indulgence. At this point, these are merely words. It is only when we begin to follow the guidance of the I Ching that we begin to have an inkling of their true meaning. This next section is called, What Must We Bring to the I Ching? Answer: The Book of Changes does not require that we be rich, smart, or beautiful in order to receive its teachings. It asks that we meet it halfway. What is meant by this is that we approach the I Ching sincerely, putting aside our doubt and mistrust of the unknown, with a willingness to reflect clearly upon our own character and to correct it when self-correction is advised. No matter how humble or desperate your current situation, if you will do this, you will inherit the good fortune that befalls the devoted students of the I Ching. About the sage. The sage is in quotes for the folks listening to the audio-only podcast. In this text, you will see references to the sage, the creative, the higher power, all in quotes, and so on. The equivalent in your own mind may be God, Allah, my higher self, the universe, or some other term. Simply substitute the word or phrase that works comfortably for you. Where to begin? Read the instructions on the next page on how to consult the I Ching. You may ask for specific advice on a situation at hand, or you may consult the sage just for general guidance. Many students of the I Ching throw a hexagram early in the morning as a way of giving a direction to the day. You should use it as you like. There are no rules governing how little or how often we ought to consult the oracle. Only the reminder that we must approach it in sincerity if we wish to derive benefit. If you are prepared to do this, you are now standing on the threshold of a new life. All right. Let's see where this goes. How to consult the I Ching. One. Shake three. Oh, good. Finally going to get directions. Longtime viewers of the White Petal will know that I'm totally clueless about this. One, shake three coins in your closed hands and drop them. Two, count heads as three and tails as two. add the value of all three coins. Oh, okay. Three heads equals 9. Two heads and one tail equals 8, and so on. Okay, I'll have to think about that. I'm sure it makes sense. 3. If the number is odd, so, what? I thought it was going to, okay, if the number is odd, that's another thing. If the number is odd, count 3, let me try this again. Sorry. Count heads as 3 and tails as 2 and add the number of all 3 coins. 3 heads equals 9, 2 heads and 1 tail equals 8, and so on. Oh, okay, okay. 3. If the number is odd, draw an unbroken line. If it is even, draw a line that is broken in the center, right? Write the numerical value of the line next to it. 987, 987. Okay? And 9, and then 8, and then 7. What about 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1? But anyway. 4. Step 4. Throw the coins again to get the second line of your hexagram. Draw this line above, not below. Okay, 6, 7, 9. Oh, 6, 7, 8. What? I'm so confused. I'll keep reading. Draw this line above, not below the first line. 5. Repeat this procedure until you have 6. Oh, those numbers are example numbers of if it was even or if it was odd. So if it's even, it's broken. If it's odd, it's solid. Okay. So if it's even, there's 2, like 2 is even, and if it's odd, then there's only 1, right? 2, 1, 2, 1, rather than, okay, that's good. Repeat this procedure until you have stacked 6 lines. Remember to proceed upward from the first line, not downward. Your hexagram might look like this, and it gives an example one. This is our example. 6. To find out which hexagram this is, consult the chart printed on pages 3 and 113 for convenient reference. That's what we've been doing since episode 4 of Secret of the Golden Flower. The bottom 3 lines are the lower trigram, and the top 3 lines are the upper trigram. The number on the chart that lies at their intersection indicates which hexagram you have thrown. Okay, that makes sense. The example above is the number 50. They gave that example. Ours is 56, right? 7. So 53. This is 53. 7. Read the text for that hexagram up to the section that says first line. Beyond that, read only sections for those lines which changed in your hexagram. Changing lines are those with a value of 6 or 9. Oh, that's really interesting. There's a whole system that we've been missing in our divinations. Okay. So when you roll those 3 coins and you add them up in that way, with tails being 2 and heads being 3, then you get a number, and that is either solid or broken based on whether it's odd or even. But if it's a 6 or a 9, then those are the parts of the advice or whatever that you read. That's like a little more reminiscent of, in a way, the geomantic figures. All right, we'll try this starting next time, or I don't know. The idea of going through all these the way we've been doing it is to read each one at least once, but maybe we can, going forward, do something a little different and actually do proper I Ching divination. What a concept. When we start reading I Ching, we start doing real I Ching. Part 8. Having read the hexagram's text and that for any changing lines, now convert the changing lines to their opposites. In the example above, the first line now becomes unbroken and the third and 6 lines becomes broken. Look up the new hexagram. Okay, so you reverse it like that and look that hexagram up. 9. The text of the second hexagram is read to further illuminate the introduction of the first. Do not read the text for any lines, just read the opening paragraphs. Very interesting. So we will actually start doing that in part two, when the cycle comes around again, or rather, Gwydion will. That'll be a fun project, fun thing to make him do. Okay, so then the next thing we have is the identifying the hexagrams. This is the chart we've been using this whole time, where it shows the upper trigram. So these three is a trigram, these three is a trigram, and put them together, they call that a hexagram, which means six letters.
Hi, Editor Edward here. I had to interrupt because I learned something, and now maybe you will too, unless you already are a Greek, you know, aficionado or whatnot. So this word, which I'll pronounce gramma, which is probably wrong, means letter or something written, where this word gramme means line. So these words are related. They come from a common root word before ancient Greek, right? But I've been saying the wrong thing. I've been saying pentagram means five letters. It's stretchy because pentagram actually means five lines. So this is made of five lines. This is a hexagram, which means six lines, right? Made of six lines. And this is also a hexagram because it's made of six lines. Some of them are broken and some of them are solid. Where pentagrammaton is the five-lettered name of God. So pentagrammaton refers to gramme, and pentagram refers to grandma. So gram, letter, gram, line. Not the same gram. Who knew? While I've got you on the line here, I thought it was an interesting coincidence. Earlier, you remember BT pointed up here and that appeared. That was from episode one of Nag Hammadi, and that BT started that series. And that was November 5th of 2024. 1 year ago today, BT was introducing a new series. What an interesting, weird synchronicity. And there's some other stuff I wanted to mention about what's-his-name's mom. I'll save that for another time. All right, back to you, BT.
I was hoping it was going to talk about the trigrams. It's going to go right into the hexagrams. Let me see if I can find. All right, so here's what I want to do. Just at the close of this, and we'll decide next time. I'll decide between now and next time how we're going to approach this going forward, whether we're just going to do a divination each time and make sure we don't get the same one twice, or just read all of it straight all the way through from beginning to end. I'm kind of leaning toward that, but I think we can do both. I think we can, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes moving forward. But basically, so we're going to let this fade from view, though not from our hearts, right? This trigram is called Xian, and it's called heaven. I think when you put heaven and heaven together like this, you get a figure called heaven. So there's that. Maybe that's the case with all trigrams. If you get the same trigram twice, maybe you get a hexagram that has the same name as the trigram. So these names will end up being familiar later. But for now, this is heaven, Xian. This is thunder, Shen. This is water, Kan, K-A-N. This is mountain, Ken. I'm probably not pronouncing these correctly, of course. This is earth, Kun. This is wind, Sun. This is fire, Li. And this is Tui, or lake. So this is, our, of course, figure 53, whose name I've forgotten. Xian. Development, gradual progress. So that's what we're going to do here, is we're going to make gradual progress in the I Ching series here on Chicken Philosophy. Hit subscribe and like and all that if you want to keep up with this. There's other stuff that happens, and you can't really get a total feel for what Chicken Philosophy is like by only watching one episode, but one episode is a good introduction depending on the episode. So if you want to tune in for the other books, then you can do that. If you want to just focus on the I Ching playlist, you can do that. It's all up to you. You can surf the playlist. And at the end, I believe we were going to put up Pymander 1000. I'm going to put Pymander 1000 and Small Seal's 7th Birthday down here. So this one's 30 seconds. This one's like, I don't know, an hour. So click one of them, whichever one you want. The thumbnail on this one looks pretty silly because it's a short, so it's just a vertical thumbnail with gray on either side or whatever. But that's what's happening. I hope that you enjoyed episode one of the I Ching, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes moving forward. And cheers.